Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Good evening, everyone. In the gospel tonight, we hear a story about a man who is blind, wanting to get Jesus' attention, and he does. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, who is really the blind person in the gospel story? For the times that we have failed to see Jesus in our lives, let's call to mind our sins and ask the Lord to show us his mercy. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped in order that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. The Gospel of the Lord. Who is the blind one? And what are they blind to? This gospel reading today is very interesting. I remember hearing the same story preached about when I was in seminary 6 years ago. One of my classmates now is named Father Jamie Dennis. He's a priest of Owensboro's diocese. When he was in the womb, his mom found out that he had severe disabilities that he was already going to be born with. And the doctor said, "You should have an abortion." And she left that doctor and never went back to him ever again. Sure enough, he was born pretty well healthy until a few years into his life when his vision began to narrow. And as his vision narrowed through his life, he was only able to, as a teenager, to see through what was like having straws to your eyes. You could see that much. And then by the time he got into seminary, it was pretty much just either dark or light is all he could see. One time he was in the sacristy setting up for Mass, and somebody walked in and turned the lights on and saw him in there and said, "Oh, Jamie, sorry, I didn't know you were here." And he said, "No worries, am I in your way?" And the guy said, "No." And so he just kept doing his stuff, and as the guy left the sacristy, he was like, "Do you want me to shut the lights off or on?" And Jamie in his great spirit was like, "Doesn't much matter to me," and then left. Anyways, Father Jamie was preaching about this gospel story whenever he and I were deacons, and he said, "The greatest miracle in the story is not that the blind man could see," which hearing a blind person say that is something. He said, "The greatest miracle in the story is that the blind man was finally given a choice." Jamie in our seminary was drug around like a child at an amusement park. Because he had a walking stick, but because St. Minard is kind of a maze, it's like Hogwarts. If you've been there, you know what it's like. It's confusing. He would usually find someone going in the same direction and just hitch a ride on their elbow, and they would just go, and he would just follow along, right? And so he said, as someone who gets drug around everywhere, who has to sit in the same seat for 6 years in our chapel, because then he knows for sure his books will be there, that no one else will be sitting in that spot. He goes, as someone who has nothing but the same thing kind of commanded to him for forever, being given a choice of what he wants is a miracle. And I thought, now that's good, you know? Well, I love the story not only because of that and what a great story that was from Jamie, but because I think it's helpful for many of us. In the story at face value, Jesus is walking through Jericho and then is leaving Jericho. Actually, The story starts with he's entering Jericho. The next sentence is he's leaving Jericho. So he was there and he's gone, right? He's passing through a town. As he's passing through, there's a crowd of people around him. Rabbis used to preach this way. They would just go on their journey, and if you wanted to hear what they had to say, they would walk and talk. And if you were closer to Jesus or the rabbi, you got to hear more of the story. And if you were farther away, you had to like tell everybody else to shut up so that you could hear. So likewise, whenever they're approaching this blind man, the blind man hears the footsteps, but he can't see who or what is going on. And so he says, "Who is there?" And the person in the front of the crowd, as the scripture says tonight, the person in the front of the crowd, so farthest away from Jesus, says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And the blind man immediately shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." As he's doing this, it only says that he says it twice in the scripture, but we can surmise that he's been saying it a lot, or he's yelling it a lot. And as people are trying to hear Jesus, they're saying, "Hey, cut it out. He's getting to the good part of the story, and we're going to miss it," right? And so the guy, he starts crying out more and more. And the verb, actually, in the original language changes. Even though the scripture in English says shout twice, he shouts all the more. The second time, it's more like a guttural, bestial, like just a cry. Anything he can do, right? "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And whenever he finally lets out this kind of animal-like cry that can't be restrained, Jesus says, "Bring him to me." They bring the blind man to Jesus. Jesus says, "What do you want?" He says, "I want to see." Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you. Go," and he's healed. Everyone in the crowd rejoices in God, it says at the end of that, because of that healing. But I do wonder, as I was reading the gospel tonight before Mass, it made me wonder who the blind person really is. Because for most of us, we can really relate to this blind man, Bartimaeus. We can relate to someone who's sitting there going, "I need help," right? And everybody else around us is going, "You don't need it," or "I've got more important things," or "Wait your turn in line," right? We know what that's like, to be the person who's stuck in the corner, or to be enslaved, or to feel like we're lost, or abandoned, or alone, or to feel like we're so addicted, or so cut off. We know those feelings. And so it's easy for us to say, "Yep, that's me," right? But I wonder what the people in the crowd felt like. Who was following Jesus? People who also probably needed him, right? I mean, like, I wouldn't be walking through Jericho. Jericho's a very dangerous city today, by the way. I wouldn't be walking through Jericho with this itinerant rabbi unless I had nothing else better to do. I mean, they were missing work, they were walking away from family, they were literally on their feet, and they didn't have like nice New Balance, you know, air pumped up shoes, right? Like, this was not easy. They were walking on camel skins, if they had that, and trying to listen in a crowd to a man who was talking about things that were unusual. I mean, these people wanted to know what Jesus was saying. And so the guy in the front of the crowd who says to the blind man, "Shut up, we're trying to hear," could we not be that guy too? I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have ever at Mass said, "Get that crying baby out of here, I'm trying to hear Father talk"? Not because we're just angry at babies, I hope, but because we have a need. We're blind. The guys in the crowd and the women in the crowd, they're blind too. They just wanted to hear the teaching of Jesus. I wonder if that's not something for us to think about. Who are we, and what are we blind to? Now, I think that right now, many of us can relate to the fact that perhaps we're not always right, or we think we're always right, and we're not. Many of us have really formed opinions on X topic, and they're so much better than the other person's, right? I'm right, and they're wrong. Or these two people, I agree with him, but not with her. Or vice versa. And we think that because of this tension of one person says X and one person says Y, that there's no way that both can be possibly met. But I wonder if maybe they can. I mean, Jesus, he does give it to people both ways tonight. He tells people what they need to hear. He teaches them with his word. For the people who don't just need the word, he gives the deed too. He walks up to the blind man and heals him, and everybody rejoices. Now they can hear Jesus talk again. which is what they wanted. And perhaps what we need is to likewise come down off of our high horses and stop telling everybody else to get in line or wait their turn or to get away. Instead, do what the blind man did. Cry out. Jesus, forget everybody else who's driving me crazy or making me question or putting me in a corner. Just have pity on me. And if someone else tells you to shut up, do what the blind man did and ignore him. Or do what the crowd did and ignore the blind man, if that's who you are. If you need to hear God's word, cry out for it. If you need to receive God's mercy or his blessing, cry out for it. I think that we can learn a lot from those who are in the darkness, like my friend Father Jamie. He teaches us that every life, both ours and others, are precious, they're important, and that Jesus desires no less than to give all of us what we need.